K-Mud Podcast presents.
Welcome to Mindful Mud. I'm Florina Nickley. I'm your host. I'm a Zen teacher and a mindfulness instructor. Thank you, K-Mud. We're so fortunate to still have our resilient, independent radio here in the Redwoods. We cherish just so much, especially during these days, these times. And thanks, Julian, for engineering. This show is about mindfulness in the very many ways that we can implement it in our lives and bring more awareness into our lives and perhaps into our community's lives as well. Today, I feel so fortunate to spend this hour with Justine Willis-Toms, host of Nida Mentions. K-Mud does air Nida Mention every Saturday morning, so a lot of you are probably familiar with who Justine is. And so do you like 300 stations, I think, around the world air Nida Mention. So that's incredible. We're just a little blink in the water there. All right, I give a quick intro anyway, a quick bio before we jump into the conversation. Justine Willis-Toms, DHL, is co-founder with Michael Toms of New Dimensions Foundation Radio. She serves as creative producer, CEO, and host of New Dimensions, an internationally syndicated radio series featuring dialogues addressing the history of the future with the world's most visionary wisdom leaders. Besides her radio work, she leads workshops on finding grace in a chaotic world. She is co-author with Michael Toms of True Work, Doing What You Love and Loving What You Do, and author of Small Pleasures, Finding Grace in a Chaotic World. She, along with Michael Toms, was selected for induction to the 2011 Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Justine is a founding convener of the Million Cycle Initiative and has been actively involved in circle work since 1980. Welcome, Justine.
Oh, Florina, it's so wonderful to be with you on live radio and on K-Mud. I love K-Mud. I just am really excited to be here today. Thank you for the invitation.
We're almost neighbors. You're down in Santa Rosa, right?
That's correct. Right. That's correct. So I feel very close to K-Mud.
That's excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you. We're so fortunate to have you today. What a treat. I feel kind of humbled to have you as my guest because you're such a prominent radio personality and host for so many years. And I feel like I've just kind of started a couple of years ago here, so I'm a complete newbie. But it's just so wonderful to have you.
Isn't radio special?
It's so special.
For me, it's just the most special medium. It's what, as we listen to one another, we're hearing things beyond the written word. It's really very special.
Yes, because we hear, right? And it's a different depth in hearing people's voices, and especially in the community. It's so community oriented. Then you listen to your friends, to your neighbors, and it creates such a glue and a togetherness. And I think this is really what's missing in this world right now, or lacking.
Oh, for sure. That is our major assignment right now. I know that we've come out of COVID and isolation where we're all like sheltered in place, and that offered us a time of reflection and rest. And there was something very, very beneficial worldwide about that. But now we're coming out of that. And it's a struggle, I think, for some of us. I know it. I can say that for me. I loved being sheltered in place and not have to go out. And now I have to force myself a little bit to go out and participate. So I have to be proactive with myself to actually reach out face to face with the world. And I call it getting out into the corridors and of life and rubbing shoulders with life and letting life inform us and stimulate us and even aggravate us, whatever it is. It's the full catastrophe, as Zorba the Greek would say.
Right, a full catastrophe. That's right. Yes, I think that community through radio and through these kind of and through community itself, like going out, as you say, is incredibly important right now. Especially, I mean, it's easy these days to hide, right? It's so easy, and to feel like, oh, I'm connected with my 1,000 Facebook friends or whatever it is, right? But we're not, right? Yeah, we're not.
Yeah, artificial communication, so to speak. You think, oh, well, I'm really connected with everybody. And then it's good. It's good. The Zoom meetings that we have are excellent. I know in my circle work, which I have the one circle that you mentioned, the millionth circle, and we've been meeting for, gosh, we just figured out 24 years now. And in one of the ways that we connect, because the circle, this particular circle, are with people all over, women all over the world, and we're a women's circle. And although we love to have men in the circle as well, but we do a Zoom meeting every single month, and it's so wonderful to connect and to hear from each other. We, you know, in this way, in this kind of circle work, we are holding each other's history. When you circle, formally circle, with the same people over a period of time, like my women's circle is like over 40 years old now, and we meet regularly as well. And so we know each other. We know through our births and our deaths and our divorces and our remarriages and, you know, the fullness of life, whatever it is. We've watched our children grow up, and it's so wonderful to have someone who really knows us. And that reminds me of an African saying, and if I can, I want to pull it up because I want to say it kind of accurately. I printed it out. Oh, well, let's see, where am I? Well, anyway, the African saying is, When we're feeling depressed, our circle sisters and brothers remember who we are, and they remind us of our genius. They remind us when they know our song, and they can sing it back to us, when we're feeling down or we're feeling angry or whatever it is, that will pass, and they can remind us of the genius and the creative genius that we all are. So that's what Circle does for me. It holds me to my best self.
Reminds you. How beautiful. It just really brings tears to my eyes, because it's like, this is what's lacking, right? That togetherness. And since we're not living in tribes anymore, right, and in that bigger family, circle work is incredible. Yeah.
Well, that's a good point, Florina, that if we're not in those small tribes, but yet we are in those small tribes. So it's a matter of making a conscious effort to be with that group of people that are close to us and meet regularly with them and support them with care and loving and kindness, and really create that atmosphere that we want to take out into the world. So it helps us to have a practice. Circle is a practice. And then as we practice that lovingness with one another, we're more tempted or encouraged to take it out into the world. I had a little interesting run-in. It's not a run-in. I don't know. I was having my oil changed in my car.
Okay.
And I'm standing in line to pay the cashier, and there's this man in the line who's I would call him a extreme extrovert. You know, he just didn't hesitate to contact me in the line. It was quite extraordinary. In fact, he even reached out and touched my arm, and I was just really surprised by his physical touch and his feeling so comfortable that he could actually reach out and touch me. And he was filled with joy. He just exuded joy. And he just kind of gave me a thumbnail of his life. It was incredible. And he said, you know, I used to be in prison, but now I'm totally changed. I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm not doing any of that. And I have a roof over my head. I own my home now. And he just was exuding an excitement of just being alive. And I could tell that he had come through a lot. It's not easy to go through the whole prison situation and be incarcerated these days, and there or any days. And so there he was, just optimistic, joyful, and spreading the joy. So that's what I mean about rubbing shoulders with life. Here I am sharing his joy now through this radio broadcast. So it's quite incredible how we help one another.
And kind of reminding each other what it means to be human, right? It's like, it's easy to forget. And also, as you said, that joy and the beauty and the connection to life itself is like getting fueled with the good, getting fueled with, right, and resourced. I think it's, you know, living right now in these times is, I feel like every day, okay, I need to feel resourced, right? I need to fill up the good so I can deal with the rest of it. Otherwise, it's just, it's not bearable, you know?
It's true. We want to contribute, and the need is so great that we hesitate. Oh, can I make a difference? I mean, my little thing, can it make a difference? And I want to tell a story, and this story, I wrote about this in Small Pleasures, but I think it really applies to us so much right now as an illustration of one person making a difference. And Tom Greenaway was with us for many, many decades. He has passed on now, and I miss him tremendously. He was just a right-hand person for me. And he had so much integrity. He just was filled with truthfulness. And what he did when we moved up to Ukiah, we were living in Ukiah for a while, and our studio was up there. And Tom moved up from San Francisco to live in Ukiah to work with New Dimensions. And what he committed to do was every Wednesday there was a city council meeting. And it was open to the public every single Wednesday. And he would go to those meetings. He committed to go to those meetings every single Wednesday. He would walk to those meetings. And he would sit kind of in the back. And as you know, city council meetings, sometimes there are hundreds of people there. And they're looking for their 2 minutes at the microphone. And it's some issue that people are all riled up about, justifiably. Riled up about. And Tom would just sit there, and he never got up to the microphone in all the years that he did this. And he did this for years, just sitting there. And I asked Tommy, I said, Tommy, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why don't you get to the microphone? He said, well, I don't need to. He said, I'm just sitting there and I'm offering prayers. So he's doing as silent prayers for the council. Sometimes the whole chamber is empty except for Tom and the council. And he would just send out prayers that they would do the best they can for the good of the community. And then later, he never spoke on the microphone. I'm sure that they were curious about who is this guy, you know, sitting there wondering about it. But when he retired, we had a retirement party for him, and some of the council members came. And one council member said something so significant. They said, you know, Tom, because he was there week in and week out, every single week, we and witness our work, we did better work because he was there as that deep witness. Now, there's a small, I bring that up because it's such a, it seems like such a small thing that someone is just sitting there and just praying for that best possible outcome. But the consistency of that and the intention of that change things for the better, not only for the council, but for all of us, because they were making a better decisions for all the community.
What an incredible, yeah, I'm so glad you share this, because we, activism can look so different. And how we contribute to the change we like to see in the world can look so many folds. And I think really checking in with ourselves, okay, what is it that I can contribute? Where's my personal contribution, and what am I good at, right? Perhaps I'm good at prayers. And
exactly.
that intention, that presence is really probably worth way more than 1,000 words.
I was thinking yesterday, a friend near where I live called me, and she said, are you going to the protest on Thursday, the John Lewis gathering of people? And I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I was thinking about, okay, what kind of sign can I make up for that? You know, there when I've been going to these gatherings and these protests and standing up for democracy and good things for our community, and that signage is so creative. It just is the best. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to write? And I found this quote. This quote is from a former guest of New Dimensions, Robert Jensen, who is a journalist and a professor, I think, at the University of Texas, Austin, I believe. And so here's what I came up with. And it starts with his quote. Maybe it's too many words, but I don't know. Well, I'll try it. We do not have the luxury of despair right now. There's too much at stake for too many people. And then I was going to follow that is, good trouble must prevail at the end of it. So it's just figuring out that, yeah, we don't, even though we want to pull the covers up over our heads, I know I'm tempted. I know I'm not watching the news in such a granular way anymore. I'm looking at the headlines and I'm keeping myself up, and I might look at something more deeply. But I'm not addicted to just every single change, because I'm not sure that I'm getting the information that I really need. It's just sort of bombarding me with a lot of noise. And I think it's really important that we get underneath the noise, like being good firemen and getting under the smoke. That's what they do. They get under the smoke to change and to put out the fires. And so that's what we all need to do.
Interesting. Yeah, I want to remind the listeners, you're listening to Mindful Mud here on KMUD, and my guest is Justine Willis-Toms from New Dimension. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we got right into politics, didn't we?
I can't help it. It's so in our forebrain. It's so pressing in on us. So it's really important that we, and you know this as a mindfulness teacher, to remember to breathe, to remember to ground ourselves. And I think of ourselves as grounded optimism, because optimism keeps us energized. It keeps our bodies vital and the energy flowing. If we're in despair or depression or even anger, that's a more contractive energy. And I believe that spirit can't work with us when we're all contractive. It's easier for spirit to work with us when we're vital and energize and enjoy.
It's interesting. I just read something from Rick Hansen, the neuropsychologist, right? And he's like, there's basically three factors that really determine like our well-being in a way. And one of them is the load, right? What do we have to deal with in this world? The load, right? We all know the load. It's a lot.
Right. It's shelter, like, shelter, food, health,
all
family,
of that. Like, get, you know,
all of it.
Yeah. And then the other part is the vulnerability. Like, let's say our trauma, our upbringing, where are we triggered, right? That's kind of like how we deal with that load. And then the third is the resources. And if the resources and the load, right, are not in balance, we're burning out and we're not at our best for ourselves or the community. So I think it's a good picture in a way, you know, that, and this is why being resourced is so important. So, for instance, one of my resources is listening to New Dimensions Saturday morning. So
Mine too. I'm right there along with every listener. I'm learning too. The last interview I did, which was Friday, which will be heard, I think, in September, with Brian Swim and Monica DeRasbos together. There were two people, and they were talking about the noosphere, and that's that thinking. So the Earth is surrounded by a noosphere, it's a thinking, mindful Earth that we are participating with. And let's see, why did I bring that up?
Because New Dimension is a resource, right?
Oh, it's a resource, right. And so what we were talking about really was helpful to me to understand that we talked about I learned something about the James Webb Telescope, which just went up in 2021.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I thought it was really, really old, and I thought the Hubble Telescope was the newest, most fantastic telescope. So I learned, no, it's the James Webb, because it's out a million miles out under the shadow of the Earth. A million miles out, and it can look into the origins of the universe. And in looking at the origins of the universe, it can see that the universe is evolving, that it was more simple. It was simple elements at that time and how they came together and then formed stars and galaxies and finally here the Earth. And it was so great to hear this and to know we are participating in that evolution. We really are. Our thoughts, our deeds, all of it are part of that whole universe and whole evolution of the planet. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And this is kind of why it's so important what we send out, right? If we send out despair, where's that going to get us? And if we send out just, you know, I mean, and then the other.
Or just anger.
Exactly. Yeah. So talking about evolution, can you kind of give the listener, I mean, it's been over 50 years of New Dimension, right? That's a big history. Like, how did it come to be?
I love telling this story because it still lives so deeply in my being, and it's part of my own birthing, I would say, my birth story, because when I first met Michael, at that time, I've always had a spiritual enthusiasm. So throughout my life, I've been exploring different religions, and I grew up Episcopalian, and then I moved to Alabama and lived in the South, and I became, at that point, a Southern Baptist because I loved the singing. It was so energized. I just loved the singing, joined the choir, and I would sing, and people would just cry when I would sing because I just felt it so deeply, this spirit through joining with others in song. And then I moved from Alabama, moved to California. And at that time, I became, shockingly, a Jehovah's Witness. And people are always surprised to hear that. And so for about 3 years, I always jump in full on. I mean, it's not just a sort of a on-the-sidelines sort of participation for me. And I would knock on doors and so forth. And at that point, I met Michael. And Michael at that point was really getting immersed in Buddhism. And I remember telling him, I met him over dinner one night. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I want to get to know this person better. It was like a soul spark. I people say that there is, sometimes you meet someone, and I just believe that we have been designated soulmates, and we finally came together. But Michael, I need to talk to you about spiritual things, because I wanted to then, you know, witness to him and you to say, here, this is the way, the truth, and the light, what I have here, what I have discovered here. I'm so excited about it. And so I came over to his apartment. At that time, he was living in a duplex in Sausalito. And I came over, and I had all my Jehovah's Witness books, you know, from, you know, Watchtower Society and all of that. And I sat down, and we went into his little second bedroom, his guest bedroom, and it was filled floor to ceiling with books about philosophy and religion. It would just blow your mind what his library looked like and how eclectic it was. And I said, now, I don't want to talk about any of that. I want to talk about the Bible. And I want to talk about my translation of the Bible, which the witnesses, they go back as far as the New Testament, they go back to the original Greek, which is the one translation that is that you can translate from directly, not using like the King James or something that's other translations. So they go to the original Greek. And I said, now, Michael, you could see this scripture means, and I go, blah, 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 because the witnesses put their interpretation of the Bible in a historical context. So they talk about the history of the place at the time. And I just so deeply appreciated that. And every time I would say that, Michael would say, yes, and you might look at it like this. And every time he did that, it's like I could see the fences around my beliefs start to dissolve or start to spread out, or my landscape was getting larger and I was getting more and more excited. So when I said I wanted to use my translation of the Bible, Michael reached back into his bookshelf and he pulled out my translation of the Bible. He said, oh, you mean this one? And that kind of blew my socks off. And I remember thinking, uh-oh, maybe he's being more inclusive than I am. Just the visual of that, you know? Although I still, you know, grappled with dialoguing with him about everything, I still had this thing in the back of my mind. And at that point, I never left. I went home, got my clothes, I moved in, and we were together for 44 years in relationship. And what's interesting about that story and about that conversation, now, there are two things. One, that conversation is continuing. I feel New Dimensions is an iteration of that original conversation that Michael and I grappled with in his little library in 1972 was when we first did that. And 9 months after that conversation, New Dimensions was born. You might say this was our baby. We never had physical children, but we did have this. It was our baby. It was the birth of our work in the world. And I when we started New Dimensions, at that time, Michael, first of all, we got immersed in Buddhism, and I was thrown into the deep end of the pool of meditation and Buddhism and all of that. It was quite something at those early years to just blow the circuits of my belief systems and put me in a much better place. I think a larger context of my life. And when we first started doing this, the San Francisco Bay Area was a candy store of consciousness. And Michael and I went to a gathering in Berkeley that was sponsored by KPFA, the radio station that many people know, Pacifica Station. And it was so interesting. It was called, I think, Frontiers of Consciousness, I think was the name of it. And when we, in the morning afterwards, we're sitting at the breakfast table and talking about, gee, this information isn't getting out there. It's really interesting what's going on. And the person at the breakfast table with us said, well, why don't you do something about it? And that's when Michael said, okay. And that's when we named it. We said, oh, what should we call it? Let's do a nonprofit organization and let's have a lecture series and let's tape the lecture series and then we'll distribute the tapes. And so the next day, Michael went and he went to a lawyer. We incorporated, put in the papers to incorporate right then and there, taking action, not just saying, oh, this is a good idea, but actually going forward with an action. And then in that lecture series that we had rented the First Unitarian Church on Gough Street in San Francisco, and one time we had an engineer that came and taped each one, but he didn't show up. And in that particular lecture, there was a man who walked in. His name was Stephen Hill. His name still is Stephen Hill. And I know some of the listeners know Stephen from Music from the Hearts of Space, which is also a national radio series and podcasts and so forth. And he's just wonderful. And he came in and he had this big case with him. And he says, do you mind if I tape this? I just have a new Nagra tape recorder, and I would like to test it out. And that was the day our engineer didn't show up. Well, who's running this show? Hey, we're not running it. There's something else happening here. And we went to dinner afterwards. And in that dinner, one of the people that was there with Stephen said, I'm doing a program every other week on KQED. And I'm not able to do it anymore. And Michael, would you like to host that program? Again, hey, what's Spirit doing here? And so we started every other week, a half an hour, then it was an hour, and then it was 4 hours live every Saturday night on KQED for quite a few years, for maybe 5 years that we did that. And so that's kind of the history of the founding of New Dimensions, and hopefully it still goes on. Even today, it just blew my socks off. Someone, where does he live? I can't remember, maybe Florida. He wrote to us and he said, you did an interview with Sant Keshavadas, who was an Indian musician from India. And he said, and I used to have a cassette tape of that, and it's destroyed now. Can I get that now? And that caused us to go back into our archive and find all these interviews that we did with these swamis that came over from India at that time. It was just those early years, the early 70s. It's just mind-blowing, and that these interviews are recorded and kept and are available, and we're digitizing them and we're describing them so that they can be more available to people as a historical document. And these are the shoulders that we're standing on. I mean, one of them was with Trungpa Rinpoche and Yogi Bhajan and others. It's mind-blowing. Chinmayananda. I mean, these are just wonderful, wonderful people that were around, and people were gathering around them, and we were learning new things, and it was opening our eyes to new efforts and new and wisdom.
What a treasure. What a treasure to have those archives. Yeah. And so is it all digitalized now, or?
Well, we're in the pretty much, if they're digitized, but now we need to describe them, and then that's a whole other process to pull up the bios and what are any organizations still around that are part of that, mm-hmm. of these people who were there. And there are many of them have organizations. So there's a lot of research that has to go on to really fully get them restored, I would say.
Wow. Over 50 years of collection of interviews and how it's been growing, right? From that conversation of that inclusion, right? That it's like that and, right?
Yeah, and, both and. I mean, it's
both
the
and. It's really,
it's like,
it's like, yeah, he wasn't fighting you, right? Michael wasn't fighting you. Not at all. He's like, yeah, and
he didn't
look
say
what,
I was
what
wrong.
Else. Yeah, exactly. Look what else is out there. And I feel like New Dimension is still like that, in that way of so many different guests, right? So many different ways of seeing the world from a bigger source. And there are so many ways, and it's not one is the right and the other is the wrong. And I think, especially right now, I mean, we need to learn this again. This separation and division is not getting us anywhere as humans.
Well, I think that part of our assignment these days is, number one, to remain in that field of curiosity, rather than just reacting to something that's happening, to say, wow, I wonder how this is going to turn out, you know, and then also to be active in participating toward the betterment, towards something, toward the goodness, towards life enhancing, not life killing, you know, in some way. And to be really happy and know that whatever contribution we're making is appropriate and right, and not to think that it's just some little thing. You never know the effect you're having in the world, but you need to participate. We all need to participate.
That's a good reminder.
I feel too. Another thing is to slow ourselves down enough to notice the signals coming in for what it is we are to be doing in our life. I feel like spirit, I do believe in the mystery of all that's happening, and there's more that's happening than just physical reality. There are many other realities, and I think that we're getting good signals all the time, but they're not like Clegg lights, you know, or flashing lights that saying, here, do this, do this, do this, and then just pulsing lights or loudspeakers or whatever. They're usually very, very small little things that if we notice, we can follow through on something. And I don't know, for me, like I just had for some reason, it came into my consciousness, something paper came across my desk to look at, the name Richard Moss came up, and he's a medical doctor. We've interviewed him many times in years past. He became a really good friend, and I've lost touch with him. And I don't know, his name just kind of came up on my viewfinder, whatever, wherever it came from, spirit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I followed through, and I looked in our database, and I had an email for him. And I thought, well, I'll try this email. I'm going to email him. And I expected, you know, you get that notice back, you know, it doesn't work. It was sent out, but there's nothing there. That address is not correct anymore. And I expected that, but that didn't come back. And after about a week, maybe even longer than a week, I look in my email and there's an email from Richard. And so we planned a Zoom session to catch up. And then out of that, with what he was doing, he gave me the name of a young Frenchman who was helping him out with social media and technology. And then that put me in touch with the Frenchman. And then the Frenchman is doing a whole assessment of new dimensions and what we are, the effectiveness of our outreach. And so there, you can just feel, if you follow along with the little things, first of all, that little notice that I thought, oh, Richard Moss. Oh, I haven't thought about him in a long time. Maybe I'll try and reach out to him. I wonder where he is now. So I followed through. And that's the whole point, mm-hmm. to notice those things and to take an action, but not driving ourselves crazy. Like in my book, Small Pleasures, I have a activism without driving ourselves crazy, a section of about that, because it's important that, as you know, Florina, that we must care for ourselves. We must take care, put our own oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
I know I'm going on and on, but I get excited about it all.
I'm getting excited. It's really incredible following those inner impulses, right? Because they're not just something to shove down. They come from a very deep source, and really following that gut impulse, that heart impulse, and not just coming from the, you know, few brain parts that think are running everything, which are not. It's an important reminder. Thank you, Justine. So you are listening to Mindful Mud. I'm here with Justine Toms, and we're talking about the original story of New Dimension. I'm curious, Justine, how has your own spiritual practice changed? You said, you know, you were from, you know, all kinds, you were interested, and then you just jumped yourself right in, and then you ended up as Jehovah's Witness, and then you met Michael, and then so how did it go from there?
Well, from there, you know, of course, I went into the deep pool of Buddhism, and studied Buddhism for many, many years, and then after that, I continue to be searching. And I think right now, because, and I search for, I have a running dialogue with myself. What is the definition of God? And the word God can have a lot of triggers for people. And so I rarely use that word itself. But I do in my iteration of what is spirit now? What is that enlivening divine force? And I believe that there is an enlivening divine force within everything, and it in within us, and that it's an animated quantum field of infinite intelligence, and it's reciprocal. In other words, we co-create with this energy force. And then that last interview I had about the noosphere just really complemented what I feel is going on. And so right now, people might be surprised to hear this one. For my newest iteration, I mean, I went into science of mind and, you know, spiritual living, which is based on science of mind church. And then I went into, Unity. I belonged to a Unity church for a while, or religion, or whatever you call it. I'm not sure they even call it a church. But these days, I'm joined Ner Shalom, which is a Jewish, it's called Reconstructed Judaism. And that's my newest iteration. And the reason that first of all, my history, my ancestry is Jewish, but my close ancestry is Episcopalian. So when a Baptist marries a Jew, their children become Episcopalians. You know? But anyway, I do have a heritage of that. And what I loved about it on Friday nights when we do Shabbat, this is all about coming together and breaking bread together and feeding one another and saying to one another, we are still here in spirit and unity, and we support one another. And that appealed to me, like, much more than communion, like eating Christ or drinking his blood, which feels a little bit vampirish to me these days. And I just felt like that symbolized the true communion of souls coming together in a spirit of hopefulness, of support, of kindness, of nourishment, of wisdom. And it has an ancient tradition, so it's really harking back to thousands of years, actually. So that's my newest iteration, and who knows what the future brings after this, but I continue to stay on that journey to expand my spiritual horizons.
Wonderful. New dimensions. And, you know, it's that coming together and in truthfulness and in curiosity and supporting each other, right? For me, I'd like to share something that you wrote about being the host of New Dimension as a spiritual practice. Do you mind?
Oh, please. I'd love to hear.
Yeah. So what you wrote is, it is a basic truth that when we're listened to with sensitivity, we tend to listen to ourselves more deeply. This, for me, is what repeatedly occurs on New Dimensions. As host of New Dimensions, I strive to listen deeply to my guests. And when I do that, I am changed by the experience. I'm expanded and deepened by the process. It's a spiritual practice for me. I so love that, you know, and I really resonate with this, because this whole being live on the radio doing interviews is like stepping into this unknown, into this creativity. And it's a very vulnerable act in a way, right? And it really demands, for me personally, a great deal of presence, a great deal of openness, because I have no clue what's going to happen, right? And that curiosity. And then out of that comes that incredible choose, that incredible change that can occur, and that learning, and that the aliveness that creates. I mean, I really love to read that when you shared that, and I so resonate with that. So can you say a few words about perhaps how that is to be a talk show host, and how that spiritual practice for you of listening?
Well, thank you. Thank you for the question. I love the question, and I love the reading. I want to know where that was from. I love that. That's great. Before each interview for me, I really have nerves. You know, I'm nervous. And part of the nervousness is that I really want, I put out the prayer that the best possible outcome will come from this conversation, that it will be helpful to someone. and helpful to me and helpful to the planet in some way that it contributes to the betterment of the planet and well-being for all the life on Earth. So that's my prayer. And so I get nervous about living up to that. And I was just thinking, as I was preparing for this most latest interview with Brian Swim, and he's a cosmologist. And in that book, The Story of the Noosphere, and by the way, for listeners, noosphere is spelled N-O-O-S-P-H-E-R-E, noosphere with an N, not with a K-N-O-W, but noosphere. So with that, I read the book, and I do, when I prepare an interview, I read the book from cover to cover, and I take notes, and sometimes I take 30 pages of typewritten single-space notes as I'm reading, because it just helps me to really digest it. And then I narrow those notes down and narrow them down until finally I've fully eaten the what it is, their particular way of expressing and how they've organized their own wisdom and thought. And then I go into the interview just with all of that inside of me. I just try and listen to what's being said. And then it just occurs to me, my own learning, like with, especially what I was saying about this particular book, I had to go into science and biology, and it gets, in some ways, there are a lot of details, wonderful, fascinating details and analogies. And I have the privilege, the honor of delving into that pool of wisdom and experience that someone is sharing in their work. And it just is such a privilege. And then it expands my own knowledge. Like, as I said earlier, I didn't even know about the Jack Webb telescope and why that was important. And Nostradamus, he was mentioned there. And so I got on Google and I really looked up who was this guy and why was he important. And, you know, it just takes me in all sorts of wonderful spiritual and intellectual and psychological and physiological adventures, is what I can say.
It's so true. It's a true honor and privilege, right? To be able to have, like, for me, like right now, I feel so honored and privileged to have you here, and I'm learning so much, and I really hope that our listeners do too. I know they are. We didn't even have time for taking any callers, but you know, next time.
Well, we love you all, the listeners. You are the life of this station, and I just want to encourage people to do what they can financially to support KMUD. What a wonderful resource this radio station is to our community. I really mean that from the deepest part of me, and I know it needs our support always. So please consider that.
Wow, thank you so much for that, Justine. So how can people kind of find out about your offerings, perhaps even your circle work, your books, your workshops you're teaching?
Please just go to the website. It's full of all sorts of information. My writings are on there. You can find them. It's newdimensions.org, and just go to the website and you'll find archive, I think, that we have described and have restored over 1,500 programs that are available on the website. Many with, we've done many interviews with Hansen, with, what's his first name? I've forgotten it.
Rick Hansen.
We've done quite a few interviews with him. So you can just look it up. Look up Robert Jensen. And I know we did one with Robert and Wes Jackson from Kansas. Wow, it was wonderful. So please check us out if you can.
Absolutely. What an incredible website, newdimensions.org. Thank you again so much, Justine, to be here, like sharing your presence, your wisdom with us. Truly appreciate it.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.